This is a podcast for ethics for Monday, September 26, 2016. And just to start off with, I'm going to talk about the course requirements, which you should look at in the syllabus, which you should read. It's in Moodle. So you go to the direct link classes.lanecc, lanecc.edu. Or you can. There's a link to Moodle on the main course website. Moodle's our course management system. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, it's like Blackboard or WebCT. It's up for its open source. I think it's better. For those of you who hate evil corporations, you know it's it's the colleges trying to get behind open source stuff and I think as far as functionality goes, it's at least as good as or better. Some of the stuff, I guess, is personal preference, but that's what we use here. So, and the course, if you log in with your L number and PIN, all the courses for which there's a Moodle section will show up. If you tried to log in on Sunday, the course probably wasn't up yet. It's up now. So, and the syllabus is there, so please read it in its entirety and ask me any questions you might have about it. I'm going to go over the broad outline of the course. So so we have two midterms and a final. So there's a first midterm, second midterm, final. And then there's forum posts. And these work out to 30%, 30%, 30%, and 10%. Now the hybrid students. Now what is a hybrid? A hybrid is some combination of classroom instruction and online instruction. The online instruction will largely be in this forum where you have to make one post each week before Sunday, 11:55 p.m. One post by Sunday, 11:55 p.m. Late posts don't count, so do it early. I'll have topics up after class today. Typically, I'll put the topics up in the morning of the beginning of the week, so you have the whole week to do them. I didn't do it today just because it's better to have some class or just something before starting. I want to give you a little bit of direction on what I'm looking for these posts. It has to be at least 100 words, I think. It could be more. You know, don't write like a novel or not a novel, like a long thing. What's the word I'm looking for? Treatise. don't write a treatise on the topic. Just I don't know if I can give you a number. You know, try to keep it below 300 words. Beyond that, it starts getting really long. You can see we have 40 students here. So I do expect you to read the posts, particularly the ones by me. Sometimes I'll comment on another student's post. If they're coming in on your email, there's a way in Moodle to keep that from happening if you go into your profile. And apologies for anybody that's had them start to come in from the personal introductions form or something. I try to turn those things off so they're not on automatically. You can't turn off me unless you disable your email address, but I try to be sparing in what I send out. So I send out a welcome notice, which you should have gotten if your email address is working. I recommend keeping your email address working because it sends you a notification if you get a Moodle message. So, let's see, anything else on these? So these are so-called objective tests, true, false, multiple choice, taken in the instructional testing lab. You can't take these at home. It's not that I distrust any one of you, but my trust for for humanity as a whole, and Americans in particular, and college students even more in particular. It's just the numbers don't look good. They have opinion surveys where they ask people whether or not they cheat. And like the numbers of college students who actually admit to cheating on a regular basis, yeah, ought to be enough to scare the bejesus about any instructor who's thinking about the honor system. So you take them in a proctored environment, it's still possible to cheat, although if you're caught, you'll be failed not just on that exam, but in the course. So you'll have to repeat it or take your lumps or whatever, or drop if it's before the eighth week. But I have a zero tolerance policy on that. So if you're trying to, do something fancy with the little crib sheet and they make you take off your hat and you're not supposed to have your cell phone, but, sometimes people think they can pull a fast one on the lab aides. So if you do, it'll be really bad if you get caught. So I don't recommend it. And my tests aren't that hard. It's just I give you a study guide, and we go over the study guide in class, and it's not, I suppose. What do I say about this? If you're college material, and you're able to get through high school, or I guess we have open enrollment here, get your GED, then you should be prepared for this class. One of the things that people find challenging about philosophy is that it's not always, what's the word for it? There's nuance, right? So it's not like you can't just memorize. You have to understand. There's a difference between like memorizing words and understanding concepts. And so it's a little more than maybe you might get in some of your other classes, a little more challenging. But I'll try to help you through that. So. Okay, so two midterms and a final. I also have an extra credit exam. And so the extra credit exam is going to replace one of these two scores if you take it, if you do better. If you do worse, it'll have no effect. So the extra credit exam doesn't have a curve on it, so it's a little more challenging. And sometimes I will curve the exams, and usually what I do is I look at the top of the scale and see how many people are able to get A's. I'm like, okay, well I got 25% A's. I don't need a curve. If I see like the number of A's, it's 9% of people got A's. I'm like, ooh, tough test. I'll add some points to everybody's score. So I will curve the exams. But when you take the extra credit exam, if you bomb one of the exams, you can replace your score with something better. And so the extra credit exam will be based on material from both the first midterm and the second midterm exam. It is not a substitute for taking the final exam. If you take the first midterm, the second midterm, and the extra credit exam, and don't take the final, the highest grade you can get in the class would be what? Excellent. You a math major? Just smart. Have you seen that? In the center building, there's a guy that has something up for being a math tutor. He's got some funny jokes on it. I was seeing that the other day. So if you got 100% on everything, the best you could do is a C-. So obviously, you must take the final in order to pass the class. Unless you're smart enough to get 100% on everything, in which case you could get a C-. I think that's all the... any questions so far? Okay, you should still read the syllabus. But that's like the broad outline. Oh, also, there's one last thing. Personal Introductions Forum. By Thursday, 3 p.m., even though you showed up in class and even though you're going to write something and even though you're writing your name in a roster, I want to make sure you're committed to this class. And moreover, the college breathes down my neck and says, students have to do some activity the first week. And I like having it online so I can see, all right, who didn't do this? And I get a list of like usually like three or four the slackers that I can badger about making sure that they're going to stick with the class. So online, in week one, there's a personal introduction form. And all you gotta say is, you know, hi, my name's Bob, and I'm a math major, and I like numbers. And ethics frustrates me because it's all just subjective, vague nonsense, and I can't quantify it. And anything I can't quantify isn't real. Something like that. Whatever, right? Just tell the class about yourself and spout out on what you think about ethics. And it doesn't even have to be at any certain length. And then press the, you know, submit button. And then I'll see that you did it, and I'll see you're in the class. And then I can look at the form and see, okay, who didn't do this? And then those are the people I have to worry about. Anybody that doesn't do that, I reserve the right to boot out of the class. I do this with the hybrid students because, and the online students are listening to this podcast too, so it's particularly important with the online students that I don't see, and they might be some fraudster in Florida who's registered for 100 classes across the country and collecting student aid money, as has actually happened. So that's one of the reasons for this policy. Okay, so make sure to do that, and it's also this also gets you into Moodle where you might possibly read the syllabus, et cetera, et cetera. Also, I like to get to know students, who you are and what you're about. And I'll post one there myself this afternoon. Okay, last call for questions. Okay, after you've read the syllabus, feel free to hit me up with questions next class. So on your piece of paper, make sure to put your name on it. And then first question is, is ethics real? In other words, is it, you might have words like legitimate, justified, you know, or is it, you know, an illusion? Superstition. For suckers. Yeah, in other words, when you talk about like ethics and morality, are we talking about something that's actually real, or you mean to use another fancy word, you know, a social construct? Or is there some sort of moral reality that we can tap into, say, with our intuitions? When someone says, well, everybody knows the difference between right and wrong, is that just a shared belief or prejudice? If it's true, what's it based on? Right. So if you think the ethics isn't really based on anything, if there's something illegitimate about ethics, or it's somehow an illusion or just a social construct, and you think about this as a moral atheism, right? So when you think about this question, you think about, you know, the idea of God. And an atheist understands the concept of God, and he understands that other people believe in God and that it affects their behavior, and that there are various religions that claim to put you in touch with God. He just doesn't believe, he just believes there is no such being. It's all an illusion. And then when people are sitting in church praying, or, you know, out under the sky or whatever, it's, you know, they're wasting their time. Or maybe it serves some useful social function, but there really is there's nobody listening. So analogously, is there such a thing as morality? When you feel good for doing the right thing, you feel guilty for doing something wrong, is that feeling based on some real phenomena, or is that something that's just sort of explicable by evolution or human nature, but it's not something that's really legitimate and real. So that's first question. So second question. Is ethics relative? And when you ask the question whether ethics is relative, means does it depend? So if I say, you know, is it okay to eat the flesh of dead animals? Or animals who are once alive and killed for your culinary pleasure and nutrition. And so somebody might say, well, it depends on if you're a vegetarian, right? So there, that sounds like it depends on what your individual beliefs and what your individual moral code is or something. So that's to your own moral code. Or some people will say, well, in America it's okay, but not in, rural China, say. There's some areas in rural China where everybody's a vegetarian. Or you might say, not if you're a Seventh-day Adventist, right? So there's a Seventh-day Adventist, one of their beliefs is vegetarianism. So here, this idea that it's relative to your culture. So the idea is that you as an individual don't get to make up your own moral code, but you live in a society or a culture, and that those cultural norms have a claim on your conduct, that you should go along with the majority. So, and notice that if you answer no to this first question, I suppose the second question, maybe you could say, well, if morality were real, then what? Because this assumes that morality is a legitimate enterprise, that there are certain things that are true and false about ethics. It's just that there's no true or false for everyone. It's either true or false for an individual or true or false for a culture. And then third question, does ethics depend on God? So there you think about, if there is no God, does that mean there's no morality? Do you need a moral lawgiver, some sort of metaphysical foundation for ethics in terms of some sort of cosmic plan or being? So starting out with something light, right? Easy questions. I won't say there aren't any wrong, right or wrong answers, but I'll say, these papers aren't going to be graded. I think there are better and worse answers. In some cases, there are right and wrong answers, but I won't be grading these on that on any basis. So write what you think, and I'll give you about 5 or 10 minutes to finish this up. If I hear murmuring and people look bored like they're done, then we might be more like 5. So write a bit, and we'll get started with our discussion.